On an unsuspecting spring day in 1967 in New York City, as I was making plans to return to my hometown of Asheville, North Carolina, to set up a civil rights practice after law school, by chance, I met a man who, without an interview, without a grade check, without a reference, hired me to join him in Charlotte. By so doing, he changed my life. I know now what I could not know then, but soon learned after I got to know Julius Chambers better. Not only did he change my life, he changed the life of practically everyone he met. For simply doing what he did, he changed the lives of millions of people that he never would have the chance to meet. Simply by creating North Carolina's first racially integrated law firm, he provided opportunities for me and others to join him in that fight for justice. And simultaneously, he established the model for his vision of a racially integrated society of equal opportunity and justice for all people. I am joined here at the podium by some of my colleagues who have been with the firm. Adam Stein, one of the founding partners, Mel Watt, one of our distinguished alumni, and Geraldine Sumter, our managing partner. With us also are the people that I call the firm family. And they are gathered here on my right. And these are folks who are alumni of the firm and who have worked with us in one way or another, or have worked with the Legal Defense Fund. I'm going to ask them to stand also, them and their families. If you would just stand so folks can see who you are. We, lawyers, staff, interns of the law firm, and cooperating attorneys from the Legal Defense Fund, both past and present, are fortunate and privileged to have had the opportunity of working with this extraordinary drum major for justice. We are eternally grateful to him for touching our lives and carrying us forward on his shoulders. We're also grateful to you, Judy, and you, Derek, for sharing him with us, his family in law. We have witnessed at ringside the powerful, positive, indelible impact he has had upon our community, our state, our nation, and our world. To be sure, we cannot imagine life without him. Our sorrow, our grief, our pain will not allow us to do that. Perhaps my former partner and brother, Jim Fuller, put it best when he gave us some heartfelt words just the other day. I'm going to quote him. Fuller said, "They say that civil rights champion Julius Chambers died last Friday. They say that his heart gave out. But I don't believe it. Rather, I believe he gave his heart away in pieces. He gave pieces of his heart to the oppressed and the poor, to all the people about whom Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 27. Julius gave his heart away in pieces to all black folks who had struggled and suffered through the evils of segregation and by desire and right, wanted to be full partners in the American dream. He gave pieces of his heart to white folks who came timidly at first, but then with conviction, because for human rights, they realized he was their hope too. Chambers gave pieces of his heart to old people, to working people, to poor people who were still in his waiting room at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. Most didn't have a penny to pay him. He saw them all. He listened to each with first respect and dignity. And he helped thousands of them work towards a better life. Chambers continually gave away pieces of his heart in a lifelong quest to equal justice for all. While he surely felt the hate and abuse and anger his work engendered from time to time from the few, he also knew of the respect and love he had earned from the many. Chambers felt sorry for those who were filled with the hatred of the past, and he did not have time nor energy to hate back. So I believe last Friday Chambers had given away all the pieces of his heart, and he simply had no more pieces to give. The greatest honor we can pay to Chambers is to believe in and live out his commitment to equal justice for all. I thank Fuller for those words, and those words reverberate with me. They reverberated with me just the other day when I woke up early and looked out upon the sunrise, and I saw a meeting taking place in the distance. And at that meeting, I saw Frederick Douglass, and Harriet Tubman was at that meeting, and so was Sojourner Truth. And then across the table, there was Thurgood Marshall and Charles Hamilton Houston, all having this great cordial meeting, and they all looked up at the door, and in walked Julius. And they sat down and they had a cordial meeting, and then the meeting was over. And they all went about their ways and work. And I turned to walk away, but then I looked back over my shoulder. And there on the horizon, I think I saw Julius. And I saw him walking up the hill with Abraham, Martin, and John.